name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We celebrate today the sixth Sunday of Ordinary Time. Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries.
Lord Jesus, you came to gather the nations into the peace of God's kingdom. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you come in word and sacrament to strengthen us in holiness. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you will come in glory with salvation for your people. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, you shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow. But I say to you, do not swear at all. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So yeah, you heard correctly. I read the short form of the Gospel. How about that? You're probably wondering, maybe I don't feel well. No, I'm fine. I'm sure everything is fine. You know, it's just that today's long form was really long. And sometimes less is more. If it gets too long, you might start to drift and miss the point that Jesus is trying to make, and that point is an important one. We began reading in some verses to the longer form of the Gospel. We began with the words with Jesus saying, I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, that at first might sound scary, because the Pharisees and the scribes had a reputation for being holy, although they weren't all that holy. So I don't know if Jesus is just being very diplomatic here or if he's being facetious, but they were not as holy, these scribes and Pharisees, as they made themselves out to be, and many of the people there knew it. Who were they? Well, the scribes were lawyers. It's exactly what they were. They were lawyers. They would draft legal documents, contracts, marriages, divorce, land sales, inheritances, that sort of thing. Anything that required legal documents, they would do. Their job even included keeping records of the city. You know, that's where we get a lot of our knowledge from. Some of the papyri that have survived tell us what life was like in some of the villages. They may have been able to keep the business records for a fellow villager who maybe couldn't write all that well. So they served a very important function. Every village back then, every village had at least one scribe. Now the Pharisees, who kind of get lumped into the same phrase, right, they were different. They were legal experts indeed, but they weren't lawyers in the strict sense of the word. But they were legalists. They firmly believed and taught that you had to follow the law of Moses to the letter. You must keep all the traditions. Remember Tevier, I'm fiddler on the roof, you know, tradition. Yeah. Someone asked him, why do you do these things? He said, well, we do them because it's tradition, you know. That was what the Pharisees were. They were big on tradition. Now, following the law. And today, when we hear the word law, well, we think of it in very legal terms, you know. You get caught speeding, you get a ticket, that sort of thing. We live in a time and a place where, you know, we talk a lot about separation of church and state and all those sorts of things. You have to kind of move out of that mindset when you're reading the Gospels, because for a Jew, you know, law and nation and faith were all kind of interwoven into one entity. And when a Jew heard the word law, as Torah, the first thing that would come to his mind is that the law means doing the right thing. It means hitting the bullseye, hitting the mark, getting it right. And so the bottom line is that the scribes and the Pharisees were not righteous people. They were wealthy, educated people who would use their knowledge of the law to create loopholes for themselves so they wouldn't have to do the correct thing at a difficult time. That's why in so many other places, we know, I don't think that Jesus often condemns the scribes and the Pharisees. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. He tells the people, beware of the scribes and the Pharisees. He calls the scribes and the Pharisees in public. He refers to them as hypocrites. Hypocrites, beware of these hypocrites. Why does Jesus do that? Why is he so hard on these scribes and Pharisees? Because of the way they kept the law? Not it, entirely. He was hard on them because Jesus knew how so easy it is for us, his listeners, that includes us, to fall into the very same trap. So easy. I'll give you an example. When I talk to people, for example, about the sacrament of reconciliation, confession, I'm sure you hear it too. I can't tell you how many times I hear, well, you know, I don't go to confession because I don't do anything wrong. I'm a good person. I really am. Commandments, well, I've never murdered anybody, you know. I haven't committed adultery. I don't steal anything. What am I going to go to confession for? I'm not sinning. Now, if Jesus were to hear the statement, which he's addressing today, what would he say? Well, for example, he brought up the first commandment, thou shalt not kill. He would say, if you are even angry with your brother, you are liable to judgment. It's a violation of that commandment of thou shalt not kill. Now, I don't think, but people sometimes get us angry. That happens, there's no doubt about that, right? It's what we do with that anger where the danger comes in, right? I'm sure you too have heard, I have heard people say, with what that person did to me, I will never forgive them. You heard that? Or how about, even worse yet, I don't get mad, I get where that anger could go. That's why Jesus is warning us in regard to the sin about adultery. There's, of course, absolutely nothing wrong with being attracted to a person of the opposite sex. That's normal. That's healthy. That's the way God made us. But when that attraction devolves into impure thoughts, that you let linger, impure thoughts that you allow to go perhaps into fantasy, now what is Jesus saying? He's saying, you have committed adultery. You've committed adultery in your heart. The third one we heard about, oaths, takes a little bit of explaining. Jews of the day had two kinds of oaths. They had solemn oaths and they had light oaths. Oaths, light. The light things these days. A solemn oath might be if you were to say, I swear to you with God as my witness that what I'm about to say to you is true. Okay? That would be a solemn oath. A light oath might be if you say, I swear to you by my reputation or by my good name that what I'm about to tell you is true. Listener beware, right? I mean, your first question would be, is this guy's reputation worth anything? See, that would be a light oath. It might be the equivalent today of what we would call a little white lie, you know? Just a little tiny lie, right? Hard, but a little tiny lie, dude. And what is Jesus saying there? He said, don't play those games. Don't lie at all. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Say what you mean, and mean what you say. It's simple. See, Jesus is calling us to face up to the full demands of God's moral law without rationalizing for ourselves, without coming up with all sorts of excuses, because that is just so easy to do, isn't it? Well, God would understand in my case. It's okay in my case. It's just not okay in your case. We all can fall into that trap. He's saying that holiness is not something that happens from the outside. Holiness happens from the inside, from our heart, from the center of our being. It's the choices that we make that lead us to holiness, that make us holy or not holy. Choices. What did our first reading say from the book of Sirach? If you choose, you can keep the commandments and they will save you. You see, so often today, the world tries to tell us that there should be no commandments. Commandments are these burdensome legal regulations that restrict us when exact opposite is true. Commandments are there. God gives us commandments because he knows what we need to be happy. Be happy. Both in this life and in the next. And breaking even the smallest, tiniest of God's laws is to do the very thing that will ruin your life, probably the lives of those around you, and make you unhappy in the long run. Again, that first reading from Sirach. To no one does God give a license to sin. No one. You see as well as I do, I'm sure, there's a tendency today to excuse the sin of people who are maybe under some kind of stress. No? Maybe because they're poor. Maybe because they have some sort of sickness. Maybe because they're marginalized in some way, as if undergoing some sort of trial, as if having a cross to carry gives you a license to break the moral law. That is completely incorrect thinking, misguided thinking. Nothing ever excuses us from doing the right thing. All of us. To no one does God give the license to sin. And we know that, yes, at times, sin may feel good. It may improve our situation, make our life easier, temporarily. But in the long run, it always backfires. Sin never leads to happiness. We could rationalize and fool ourselves. We certainly, it's easy to fool other people, but we could never fool God, nor escape his judgment. The question for us this morning is a simple one. Do you want to be happy? It's a silly question almost. It's an obvious question. But do you want to be happy? If the answer is yes, then the path is clear. What did we sing in our psalm response? We said, happy are they, blessed are they, who follow the law of the Lord. The laws were put there for us to be happy. We sang, I went to the end too fast there. We sang, blessed are they who follow the law. But I told you in the past, if you want to really get a better handle on that word blessedness, replace it for yourself when you read it with happy, because it captures the same idea. So, ask yourself, do you want to be happy? If the answer is yes, then the path is simple. Happy are they who follow the law of the Lord.